interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
All right.
Fatherhood and family building. There are so many factors. Parenting, encouragement, managing a career, and home life. Welcome to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. Today's father is all about more than bringing home the bacon. It's all about managing relationships. Now, here's your host, Freddie Scott.
And it's all right by me.
Live from Nashville, Tennessee, is the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. As always, the call is free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. As always, we have a great show lined up for you today. Today, of course, we're going to have a crazy weekend of sports. If you're a sports fan, it doesn't matter if you love baseball, basketball, if you with the WNBA, college football, NFL football, NFL records being broken. Just a great weekend in sports, and so we have a recap of this weekend sports. Also, some predictions for next week's NFL games in a You Pick'em segment. Also, we're going to talk about 10 things in life that really don't matter. That's from our good friends at All For Dad, as well as how do you know if you are a successful father or not. And, of course, we'll talk about those things today. And again, just a crazy, crazy weekend in sports. Baseball, to me, personally, is just MLB baseball. The season is just too long, 162 games. It's hard to stay engaged throughout an entire season, but I gotta be honest with you that once the playoffs start, and if there's a team in the playoffs that you have somewhat interest in, then at least the games are a little bit more appealing, a little bit more interesting, because each out actually means something versus just during the regular season. And so to think of the baseball season starting off now with some really great baseball games, I know many of you are either watching your favorite college team or watching some great NFL matchups that we'll talk about soon, but there were a couple of gem baseball games. Actually, almost all of them were really great, closely contested baseball games with some great pitching duels. Start, of course, the Washington Nationals and St. Louis, Washington, taking a 1-0 lead over the Cardinals, and that was a great game. The Cardinals stayed; they actually had the lead the majority of the game until Washington came up with some clutch hits towards the end of that game to take the lead in that game. The Yankees in Baltimore, that was probably one of the best games in baseball so far, close to the Tigers-Oakland Athletics game. If you didn't get a chance to see it, it was 2-2. Just CC Sabathia had a great pitching performance there for the Yankees, keeping them in the game. Great clutch pitches. And then ultimately it's 2-2 going into the top of the ninth inning, and the Yankees come up with a huge, huge solo shot to take a 3-2 lead, and then end up exploding in scoring. I believe it was five runs in that inning to end up just really closing out the game strongly with against the Orioles, taking a 1-0 lead just with the offensive explosion in that ninth inning. The Giants and the Reds, Cincinnati is leading that series 2-0. The Giants, again, they're coming off, you know, just a few seasons ago, a championship there, and now they're struggling against the Cincinnati Reds, and it looks like the Reds should be poised to be able to just win one out of three games. And then my hometown boys, the Detroit Tigers, are leading 2-0. The game one, Verlander pitched a gem of a game for 7 innings in winning game one. And then last night in game two, 4-4, very much like the Yankees game, where it's tied going into the ninth inning. The Tigers and the Athletics were tied going into that last inning, 4-4, and ended up coming up with a huge game-ending sacrifice fly with bases loaded, and the Tigers were able to walk away with a 5-4 victory and up 2-0 on the Athletics. And so some really good baseball being played right now. If I'm going to pick anything right now, the Orioles, I don't think, are going to back away or be scared of the Yankees, but I think at the end of the day, the Yankees' offense is just too strong for them. And with the opportunity for the Yankees to be able to close out the series at home, the Orioles would have needed to be able to maybe have the series reversed, maybe starting the series in New York, try to steal one there, and then use the home field advantage due to their lack of playoff experience to try to win and close out the Yankees at home. But with the Yankees being able to steal game one in Baltimore and being able to have the opportunity to close the series out potentially in New York, I'm going to give the edge to the Yankees. Detroit, I think their pitching is too strong right now, especially when you know Verlander is going to get you at least one more game in that series if you need it. If I'm the Tigers, I'm going to try to go ahead and sweep and try to save Verlander for game one of the ALCS. And of course, that would be just a huge advantage to potentially be able to throw Verlander for 3 games in that series versus 2. But of course, the manager Leland has done a great job in managing his innings and his utilization all season long. I'm going to give, of course, the Reds would have to have a major collapse, already being up 2-0 for the Giants to be able to come back and win that series. And the Nationals in St. Louis, that's going to be a really close series. The Cardinals, again, they're the defending world champions. They're not scared at the moment, even though they've lost their manager, even though, that they've lost Albert Pujols. They are still a team that is used to winning. They know how to win. They're not at all intimidated by the Nationals. The Nationals just came up with some clutch hits in this first game. So I wouldn't be surprised if this series goes 5 games and really is going to come down to the pitchers and who's going to be able to come up with clutch hits. Initially, if you're going to talk about what wave of momentum you're going to have, I'm going to give a slight edge to Washington because they're going to be able to have the chance to be able to go home, ride the energy and passion of those home fans who have not seen a playoff game forever. And so they're going to really be excited there. So I'm going to give the edge to the Washington Nationals to close out that series. So we're looking at the Nationals versus the Reds and the Yankees versus the Tigers, and once that takes place, I'll give you my pick for there once we get to that in a couple weeks. Of course, crazy weekend in college athletics as well. Some really close games, LSU going down, South Carolina playing strong and beating Georgia, and of course, Oregon just is continuing to roll through teams right now. And just a really, even Penn State coming up with a big victory over Northwestern, scoring 39 points. It just really looks like the college football scene is really starting to pick up a little bit here, and some really close games, probably closer than what a lot of people would have thought there would have been in these college games here. But, you know, Oregon winning 52-21, NC State coming up big over Florida State. That has to be a very disappointing loss for Florida State, considering they wanted to jockey to contend for a national championship and to lose. And so you have a number 3-ranked team and a number 4-ranked team and a number 5-ranked team all lose all in the same weekend. So Florida State going down, LSU losing to Florida there in the swamp, and then Georgia getting just pounced by South Carolina 35-7. And so there's going to be a lot of shifting, and I wouldn't be surprised because South Carolina, they still have to play LSU and Florida this year. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they end up seeing a lot more one-loss teams in that top 10 by the time this season concludes. But at the end of the day, it's going to be Alabama and Oregon's national championship really to contend with. I don't see Kansas State or West Virginia or Notre Dame being able to truly jockey and position themselves to jump in Oregon or in Alabama if they all run the table. West Virginia, they're a high-powered offense, but they allowed Texas to score 45 points on their defense isn't strong enough. Kansas State, you know, good team, good story, but I don't see them being able to really contend for a national championship if Oregon and Alabama continue to do what they've been doing so far. And so just really great games all the way around. And this weekend, of course, in the NFL, just some really, really great games that going down to the wire, some very, I mean, Andrew Luck, we're going to talk about pretty after the break. Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Who would have thought going into the season when you saw Packers-Colts, you know, Colts' worst record in football last year, first pick of the NFL draft, head coach in the hospital fighting for his life, and the Packers lose the game. We're going to talk about the implications. How good are the Packers? Are they really the team that they thought they were? You know, they've got plenty of commercials out there right now. You know, the discount double check with Aaron Rodgers, and you've got believe in your smelf with Greg Jennings, who's, you know, been dinged up and maybe all those push-ups with a jet ski on his back, maybe tweaked his groin a little bit, but I've seen him more in his commercials than I've seen him on the field so far this year, and they've got some real issues here that they're gonna have to deal with that we're gonna talk a little bit more at length after the break, but some really, really interesting things going on with the NFL. And if there's anything I can say about what's happening so far in the league, is the fact that there is clear parity. There is no longer a sense of one clear dominant team that's just going to run through everyone in the NFL. You're going to have to play the game. And at the end of the day, these teams in the NFL, everyone's getting paid, and everyone is showing that they're worthy of contending for a division title. You know, you've got the NFC West looking like the best conference, who went from probably the joke of the NFC to probably the strongest conference in the NFC right now. And so it's going to be a really interesting this has been a very interesting first couple weeks of the season, and I believe that we are going to see probably two or three teams in the playoffs this year that did not make the playoffs last year. And I'll give you those predictions right after this. You listen to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back after this.
It's all right by me.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America's sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. Later on today, we're going to be talking about 10 things in life that don't really matter, as well as how do you know if you are a successful father. Make sure you call in. The call is free, 888-346-9144. And again, good morning to those of you out there on the West Coast, waking up, getting into work. It's about 9:17 your time there, and hopefully you're not too late to work. And those of you on the East Coast, thank you for sharing your lunch with us today. Hey, don't forget to catch me on the road. We'll be in Washington, D.C., October 25th and 26th, speaking to NFL players. We'll be doing workshops there on fatherhood, and the topic of the workshop is living a life of legacy and focusing on fatherhood and marriage and relationships, and making sure that we can transition from work to home and do that with success. We're going to be in Houston, Texas coming up in December 5th and 6th, Phoenix, Arizona, February the 14th and 15th. And again, we're looking forward to having a great time with you guys out there. Make sure you send a tweet to @FreddieScott. Let me know if you're in town. Let me know what are some good restaurants and stuff to have in D.C., Houston, and Phoenix. Want to make sure I get the best possible experience while I'm in those towns, while I'm there. Again, I don't know if you had a chance to watch the recap, and hopefully you did, but did you see the hit that knocked out RG3? I mean, if you didn't get a chance to see it, you need to YouTube it, turn on your TV. He got knocked out. I mean, it was a hit amongst hits. As the Falcons continue their impressive start to the season, 5-0 start, beating the Washington Redskins, RG3 rolled out, was flushed out in the red zone, trying to make a play, tried to slide, but he went down, I believe, head first, and so he still made himself available to get hit, and he got hit. I mean, it was one of those, you want to cringe and look away, but you still want to keep your eye peeked a little bit to see how bad that hit really was, and he's vowing that he's going to be ready to come back in week 6. Yes, he was knocked out. According to the reports, he apparently was feeling better, which is a good thing. Obviously, as the franchise quarterback, and I'm sure the Redskins and all of the Redskin fans there, which is another topic, the Washington fans there are happy to know that it wasn't severe. However, it was enough to knock him out of the game, and he is saying that he should be fine for week 6. And now, what's your take? Do you think that he should hurry back from a concussion, something that could plague you? Because typically what happens with concussions, once you've been hit like that, sometimes it just takes another little ding and now you're out again. You know, I know he wants to play. I know he wants to be there for his team. They've got a big game against Minnesota, hosting Minnesota next week. But again, what's best for the team may not necessarily be for him to come back. Kirk Cousins, the backup quarterback, also a rookie quarterback that they drafted out of Michigan State, he did look good, hit a big touchdown pass to Santana Moss in that game and looked pretty good as the backup, and maybe with a week of preparation, you know, they could be competitive against a very improved Minnesota Viking team. But again, with a concussion, I would just caution RG3 to want to come back too fast. I know he's a competitor. I know he wants to play. I know he wants to be there for his team. But with the concussion, you know, ask Austin Colley with the receiver for the Colts when what happens when you come back too soon with those injuries. Even Aaron Rodgers recently, a couple years ago, had some major issues with the concussions, had to get the special helmet to take care of that. And so, again, this is something you don't want to play with, especially considering this was a major hit that he took in that game. This weekend in the NFL had some really, really good games and then some really horrible games. Let's start with the good ones. The Saints came up big with their first victory, with their suspended head coach in observance in the press box. Their New Orleans winning over San Diego 31-24. Drew Brees put on a clinic, a passing clinic. If you're a dad and you have a son that wants to play quarterback, you better sit your son down and let him watch Drew Brees tapes. Even if your son is sort of undersized, that's probably the best type of quarterback you're going to want to show your son how he's able to not let his lack of height. Because, again, Drew Brees is all of maybe 5'10 and a half, 5'11. You know, he is not a tall guy, but his pocket presence and his mechanics are so sound that you can't doubt. In fact, I believe they said over the past he set a record for, I believe, the past 30 games or something like that with the most passing yards in NFL history, and, of course, breaking the record for most consecutive touchdown passes thrown in games in NFL history, breaking Johnny Unitas's, the great Johnny Unitas's record that had stood for so long. And so think about how great you have to be and how many great defenses you have to compete against every single week of the NFL season. Every single week they know you're going to throw it. Every single week they know they're going to try to shut you down. This is something Peyton Manning has not done. This is something Tom Brady has not done. This is something that, you know, some of the best Aaron Rodgers has not done. This is, and you're talking about an undersized quarterback that has done something miraculous. When you saw, he proved that he deserved every penny of that contract that New Orleans gave him in the beginning of this season, and single-handedly took his team on his right shoulder and led them to victory. New England looked like they are really ready to contend for another AFC championship, beating Denver. Peyton Manning, again, he really doesn't play that well in New England, but again, New England was just outmatched Denver 31-21 there in New England. They just look like they're ready to just run through teams right now. Tom Brady and an actual strong running game that they have now, which is actually a really, really impressive for them and very dangerous if you're another team. You've got the passing led by Tom Brady. He went 23 for 31 for 223 yards and only one touchdown. But really, their new running back rushed for 151 yards, long being of 20 yards, while Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos were only able to get, Peyton went 31 for 44, 345 yards this year, and three touchdowns. So if you started him, he gave you some great fantasy points. But again, the lack of running attack for the Broncos is crushing them right now. Willis McGahee, 14 carries for 51 yards, you know, and then every other running back rushed for less than 10 yards. The team rushed for under 70 yards. The Patriots' second running back rushed for almost as many yards as the Broncos' entire run game. Bolden for the Patriots rushed for 54 yards, averaging 3.9 yards per carry. He averaged more yards per carry than the entire Bronco team, who only averaged 3.5 yards per carry. And so you've got some serious issues, I think, potentially for the Broncos. They're going to have to get ground game going in order to allow Peyton to be able to do what he does. Even though he did a great job, 345 yards, 3 touchdowns, yeah, that's great numbers, but when you're talking about trying to compete against the Patriots, the Houston Texans, and some of these other teams there in the AFC, they're going to have a balanced attack, and you're going to have to be able to get more out of McGahee than just 51 yards. It's pretty disappointing. I think that's a pretty disappointing performance. You got the San Francisco 49ers. They put on a clinic, and you've got to be disappointed. If I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, you know, to think I spent all this money on Mario Williams, and, you know, our defense got shredded by not Drew Brees, not Tom Brady, but by Alex Smith, and actually set a 49er franchise record for most yards in a game by an offense, 45-3, just put on a clinic. Seattle in another tight game, Cam Newton came up just short in the red zone, chance to be able to win the game. They came up short. Seattle sneaks out of there, 16-12. Chicago Bears looking very strong. You've got between the quarterback and receiver out there, those guys are looking like they have not skipped a beat and have never not been together. Jay Cutler, you know, throwing for 292 yards, Forte rushing for 107, Brandon Marshall going for 12 receptions and 144 yards. You know, this team is looking really strong, starting off with a strong 4-1 start, and you've got the Packers now in third place. And let's talk about the Packers losing in Indianapolis with a great last-second drive led by Andrew Luck hitting Reggie Wayne for a 4-yard touchdown pass. And this is just really surprising considering, you know, you would think the Packers are going to go in, want to just, you know, do what they need to do to be able to get to it, you know, be a 3-2 team, you know, stay a couple, maybe one game behind the division lead. And now they're at 2-3. They have lost both road games, and in addition to losing one at home. And now you have to really start questioning what they're going to be able to do, because as it stands now, they are in third place in their division at 2-3, and right now 2 games behind Minnesota and Chicago, who are both at 4-1. And right now they are currently behind the Giants, the Cowboys, they're behind the 49ers or the Cardinals. They're behind St. Louis and Seattle. The AFC West right now has the best record of any conference. The NFC West, that is, has the best record of any conference. And so now the Packers are going to have to go on some type of run right now in order to try to keep themselves in it. And they have a huge test next week, next Sunday night, at Houston. The undefeated Houston Texans, and that is not a gimme game at all. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about 10 things in life that really don't matter. I'm going to give you my picks for next week's games here in week 6 of the season, my pick tonight for the Jets game, which I'm going to go into a little bit, and then how do you know if you're a successful father or not. All next on the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back after this.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Sports continues to grow and evolve to ever-increasing prominence in today's society. On All Around Sports, host John Inglesby will connect with the leading newsmakers from the sports world, including players, owners, and fellow sports journalists, discussing the top news and events that are relevant to sports today. John will also report from and offer his experience of the world's top sports events. Tune in to All Around Sports with John Inglesby, Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need. And it's all right.
Listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and once again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your day with us. Again, we've been talking about this weekend of sports, just crazy sports action. If you love sports, it doesn't matter if you like basketball, baseball, football. Now is the time that everything is getting cranked up, and you almost have to choose which one you're going to watch and TiVo and record. And it was just crazy weekend this weekend, and some great games. Now I'm going to give you some my picks for not just tonight, but also next week's games. I'm not a betting guy. I'm not advocating that you bet, but it's also fun just to be able to see if you're right with your predictions here. So here we go. We've got Monday Night Football tonight, Houston at the New York Jets. Now, I'm sure the league initially when they set this game, you know, the Jets have always been a contending team. They've looked good. You know, Coach Ryan said, hey, this is the most talent that I've had. They get the juicy media blitz by signing Tim Tebow. And, hey, how are they going to use Tebow? And this should just help this Jets offense just be explosive. And you've got the defense over there that's always been a shutdown defense, very tough, you know, defense, hard-nosed, hard-hitting, sound team. You got Revis Island over there. And look at them today. You got Darrell Revis out for the season with a knee injury. You've got a now potential quarterback controversy because Sanchez has not looked good at all. And so we're picking the Houston Texans. They're undefeated for a reason. They've got a balanced run and pass game, and it looks like that they're going to be poised, barring something unforeseen, to be able to go in on prime time in New York and put on a clinic against the Jets. Now, if Sanchez looks as bad as he has looked, which he is very likely because the Houston Texans defense is a very, very good defense, don't be surprised if they start trying to put a lot more heat on Rex Ryan to try to make some type of quarterback change. And if they get embarrassed on national TV, you got to assume that they're going to have to do something, because this is a very proud team. Their head coach is a very proud coach. He does not like to get embarrassed. And if they get embarrassed the way they got embarrassed last week, look for the Tim Tebow talk to start picking up a little bit. And so I'm picking the Texans big over the New York Jets. Then next week, the Thursday night game, we got Pittsburgh at Tennessee. The Titans right now are struggling with Jake Locker out with a shoulder injury. Hasselbeck in the receiving corps did not look like they were on the same page. Chris Johnson is struggling to try to get his stride, his 2,000-yard performance form back that he had a couple years ago. And Pittsburgh coming off a really good victory against the Philadelphia Eagles. I know they try to put a lot of heat on the Eagles over losing this week and the fumble that he had going in to score, but he put some really nice drives and put his team in position to be able to win the game. The defense just was not able to do that. But the Steelers coming off a nice victory, coming off a game-ending fourth-quarter drive to beat the Eagles there. I believe the Steelers are just going to be too strong, too focused, too talented, too consistent. The Steelers are more of a more consistent team than the Titans right now. The Titans would have to put on some type of superhuman performance in order to be able to beat the Steelers right now. I'm picking the Steelers at Tennessee as a victory. Then Sunday's game, you have Oakland at Atlanta, undefeated Atlanta. Typically, when you're picking games, the home, typically in the NFL, the home team wins unless the visiting team is a really good team. And so my first two picks, the visiting teams are really good. Houston is better than the Jets, even though they're on the road. Pittsburgh is better than the Titans, even though they're on the road. Oakland, they're okay. They have a better, they're playing better than I think most people really would have thought they would have starting this season. But again, they're a 1-3 team looking to still trying to find their niche with Carson Palmer. They got a great running game, but again, Atlanta too strong, too confident at home. Oakland will lose to Atlanta. Atlanta will stay undefeated. Cincinnati at Cleveland. Usually you look at this game and it's usually a toss-up, but I think Cleveland is really struggling right now. Cincinnati, they are poised right now. They want to stay in the hunt right there. They're only one game behind the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens who are at 4-1 right now. Cincinnati is 3-2. They want to keep pace. And so I see the Cincinnati Bengals and ready to be able to continue the strides there to stay and beat the Cleveland Browns. St. Louis at Miami. This really is a toss-up game. Both teams are playing a lot better than they did last year. Both head coaches, Jeff Fisher there at St. Louis, Miami's head coach has done a great job turning these organizations around in a short time frame. Reggie Bush from Miami is playing really, really good football. Miami's at 2-3. You've got the Rams who are also at 3-2, and they are one game behind. And so we're looking probably here at a toss-up type game. I'm going to give the edge to the home team. Even though I know St. Louis is playing strong, they have a really strong chance in winning. I'm going to give the edge to Miami. Indianapolis at the Jets. Now, again, this is another one of the games. Before the season, you would have said, oh, clearly, this is an easy win for the Jets. Not the way they're playing right now. I'm picking Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts to beat the Jets in New York. Detroit at Philadelphia. This is another great game, high-powered offenses. You got Megatron, you've got Michael Vick, you know, and when you've got this type of performance here, I'm going to say the Eagles defense is still a little bit better than Detroit's defense. So I'm going to pick the Eagles at home over Detroit. Detroit, I believe, will be one of those playoff teams that made it last year but will not make it this year. Dallas at Baltimore. This is a statement type game for the Cowboys. The Cowboys need a big victory, a statement victory on the road against a contending team. The Ravens are a contending team. They are 4-1 right now. But it's not going to come this week. The Ravens, I believe, are too strong, too disciplined, too good of a football team. The Ravens will beat Dallas, and I believe it's going to be another disappointing season for the Cowboys, underachieving Cowboys team. Kansas City at Tampa Bay. These are two bad teams. Tampa Bay's losses, though, have been close. I'm going to give the edge to Tampa Bay. Even though they've lost some games, those games have been lost. Last-second games, ball bounced the wrong way. Buccaneers over Kansas City Chiefs. Buffalo at Arizona. Arizona Cardinals will beat Buffalo. Buffalo is really struggling right now. That is going to be a rough game and a rough season, I think, for the Buffalo Bills ahead. They've got some talent, but I don't think it's all together there yet. New England at Seattle. That's going to be a great game. Seattle, of course, always plays tough. But New England right now, I think they're coming into that form where they're just almost on autopilot, and they've got too much talent and the fact that they can run the ball and throw the ball. New England over Seattle. Giants at San Francisco. This is going to be a great game. This is going to be a knock 'em out, drag out, a TiVo it, watch it, do it, whatever you need to do. This is probably going to be one of the better games of the season, potentially. The Giants and Eli Manning are really clicking on offense. Their defense is playing sound. Ahmad Bradshaw coming off a 200-yard performance against the 49ers, who just put on a clinic and set a franchise record for offensive yards, over 600 yards total offense that they put on last week against the Bills. I'm going to have to go with the home team on this. I believe the 49ers are going to have something to say. They're going to be pretty disciplined and pretty focused. They have a good pass rush. It's going to be a great game. I'm going to give the edge, though, to the home team because of that. Then you're going to have Minnesota, the Minnesota Vikings at Washington. This is going to be another good game. Surprising Minnesota Vikings. They are really improved. Adrian Peterson looks like he is the same Adrian Peterson. Gerhardt coming into spell has been looking very strong. The passing offense with the Vikings have been looking strong. Percy Harvin's putting on a great performance at running back, receiver, special teams. The Redskins, will RG3 be back? I don't think he will. I'm going to pick the Minnesota Vikings over the Redskins. Then you've got Green Bay at Houston Sunday night. Another great game. This is going to be a game where Houston most likely will still be undefeated against Green Bay. And I believe Green Bay, if they're going to make the playoffs, I'm going to say that this would be the game that they would have to win. And as much as I would like to pick Green Bay to do it, I don't think their offensive line is ready for the Houston Texans defensive line. And as much as we love to see their commercials, and as great as it is to see Aaron Rodgers and the Packer brand successful, I think they're going to lose at Houston next week. And then you have Denver at San Diego. Both teams coming off of disappointing losses. Both teams have great quarterbacks. Both teams have suspect running games. I'm going to give the edge to the Denver Broncos. I think Peyton Manning wants to really solidify the team's position in the AFC West, and this would be the game. Really, the winner of this game most likely would be in position to be in the driver's seat to win the AFC. And so I'm going to give this one, I'm going to pick the Denver Broncos on it. Now, quickly, 10 things in life that really don't matter. You know, typically, a lot of times, we spend a lot of times doing a lot of things that really, at the end of the day, they don't matter. In fact, that entire segment that I did is the first thing that really doesn't matter, the sports results in life. As much as we love to talk about it, and I know this is a sports channel, and I know that this is everything that we love to be able to do and blow off steam and just to enjoy our time, but at the end of the day, spending our days all around sports, it really doesn't matter. Because, in fact, think about it. If a doctor told you that you only had 6 months to live, would the outcome of the Super Bowl suddenly mean anything to you at all? You know, sports are wonderful when it comes to entertainment, but when participating, they offer just a and when you participate, it has a lot of benefits, but a lot of times we obsess about this too much, and at the end of the day, we need to sort of refocus a little bit and realize that this is just a part of life and should not take up our entire life. Another thing that typically really doesn't matter at the end of things is living up to other people's unrealistic expectations. How many of us spend too much time focused on things that because of we don't want to disappoint this other person or because this person has an unrealistic expectation of ourselves? Now, when we come back after the break, I'm going to talk about how do you manage unrealistic expectations. How do you make sure you communicate to other people so that you don't spend your life trying to be something for someone else that you just can't be? We're going to pick up right after this. You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back after this.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Sports and medicine go hand in hand. Quite simply, if you aren't up to your game health-wise, you won't be up to your game on the field. That's where Bruce the Sports Doc comes in. Dr. Bruce Grossinger uses his medical training and experience to bring you a link between sports and medicine, from the latest advances and treatments to discussion behind the injuries of the week. Bruce the Sports Doc and his team of guest experts are here each week to lay it on the line in terms that you can understand. Tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. If you're just joining us, we've had a nice recap of this weekend in sports. And now we're talking about 10th. You missed my picks for next week's games and my Monday night pick for tonight. But as always, subscribe to the show. You can also find the show on iTunes. So no matter where you are, we can be right there. Find us, the Freddie Scott Show on iTunes, and share us with a friend. Before the break, we were talking about 10 things in life that really don't matter. And really, at the end of the day, we talked about sports. It really doesn't matter. Living up to unrealistic expectations. I mean, really, if you want to know how to be successful, you've got to avoid unrealistic expectations. Sometimes they're external, such as from a parent or a spouse, and sometimes they come from ourselves. In either case, don't waste energy trying to live up to something that you're not. It simply doesn't matter. We all have to correct path to discover for ourselves, and that's literally where your energy should be focused. Your focus should be on being what you know you're supposed to be and doing the best and being the best you that you can be and not trying to be something that you're not, just trying to please someone else. Because at the end of the day, when you think about it, you can't please other people anyway. Even after you bend over backwards, they still are going to be upset about something. So you might as well first focus on doing what you know God's called you to do first and foremost. Now, another thing, you probably won't like this one, but at the end of the day, this one really doesn't matter. Television. Talk about something that we can obsess about. We spend the majority of our time and resources on how to constantly improve our television viewing experience. And all of us are guilty with it. And from our 3D TV to our HD TVs to all that stuff, but at the end of the day, how much money are we spending on TV and enjoying that television experience? And then if I just ask this question, how much do you have set aside in your savings? How much debt have you gotten into as a result of your television experience? How much have you saved for your college education or for your children's college education? I'll just let that stay right there, because when you think about it, we have put too many things that really should not be a priority above things that really should be our priorities. And you know what? If you're watching your kids' college education, ouch. we should be a little bit more intentional in making sure that priorities maintain the right priorities. Another thing that really doesn't matter is bitterness. We all have had moments in life where we become consumed by petty differences and bitterness, and this is a problem for society as a whole also, but we can prop up the political climate with this country as evidence. Pettiness and bitterness only lead to destructive ends. So if you want to change your life for the better, stop being bitter. Stop holding on to unforgiveness. You know, there is something powerful about the ability to forgive, and forgiveness isn't about whether or not that person was right or wrong. It has nothing to do with that. Forgiveness is everything to do with allowing yourself to be freed up from whatever someone else has done to you, so you can be freed up, one, so God can help heal you, and then secondarily, so that you can be freed up and walk free and not carry on that baggage into the other relationships that you have around you. The last one I'll talk about is revenge. And the same destructive zone as bitterness, but revenge remains a prime motivator in the lives of too many people. Revenge against the person who wrecked your marriage. Revenge against the person that got the promotion you wanted. Revenge against the driver who cut you off. Certain parts of society have even evolved to the point where revenge has become the heart of their culture. And obviously God wants a whole lot more of us spending our time, energy, passion, thoughts on trying to get back at someone because of what they did to us. And then for some of us, you do it and you're hoping that they're hurt as much as we're hurt, and if it doesn't seem like that they're hurt as much as we're hurt, then we're going to be even more consumed to try to figure out something else that we can do. How much time and energy are we wasting trying to get back at people because of something that we need to really be more focused on forgiving and moving on? There's a powerful lesson in learning to turn the other cheek. It doesn't mean that they were right, but it does mean that I'm not going to allow them to have power over me and allow anyone to have any power over me, and I'm going to be free from whatever anyone or anything has done to me in the past, because I have a bright future ahead of me. Now, I'm going to also run to, this is another great thing from our friends at All Pro Dad as we close today's show. Again, thank you for listening today. This is the Freddie Scott Show, Men Lead, Marriage Works, Families Grow. And as men, I want to leave these last little thoughts here about how do you know if you are a successful father? Now, think about this. At age 4, success would be, not wetting your pants. You know, at age 12, success would be having some friends. Age 17, I've got a driver's license and I can be trusted to drive safely. Age 35, you have a good career. Age 60, success could be getting out of your career with a retirement plan. At age 70, maybe it's still having a driver's license. At age 80, maybe success would be still having friends. At age 90, maybe success would be you're not wetting your pants. Perhaps a better definition of success, or at least for fathers, is passion for his duty and the ability to love unconditionally. Possession of those two traits is the common denominator in all successful fathers. So here's a couple ways of knowing of whether or not you are a successful father, and these are from our friends at All Pro Dad. One, real communication. Real communication is not, hey, what was the score? Hey, how's your day? It was good. Okay, great. Hey, hon, great dinner. No, real communication is talking about the most valuable tool in the father's belt. Conversation is information, and information is understanding. Serious, funny, or totally random, every conversation had with your child is invaluable to you as a parent. Know your child better than they know themselves. And also tailor your guidance towards that knowledge. The more you talk, the more you get your children and your wife talking, you have their heart, and you're able to keep a pulse of what's going on in their life and can help, hopefully, continue to steer it in the right direction. Number two, how can you tell if I'm a successful father? Well, I need to know that I'm respecting and loving my wife. The most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. That's Reverend Theodore Hesborough said that. Your son will grow up one day to treat a woman the same way his father treated women. I'll say that again. Your son will grow up one day to treat a woman the same way his father treated women. Your daughter will grow to expect the treatment that was provided in dad's example. This country has an epidemic of disrespectful young men and young women with low self-esteem. We are daily bombarded with examples of male prowess and female promiscuity. That's not an accident. We've had a duty. We have a duty to stand and fight this battle against good family principles, and that starts by always showing our wife the love and respect that she deserves. If I don't show my sons how to love a woman by them seeing me love their mom, and if I don't show my baby girl what she should expect from young men, how else are they going to learn it? They're not going to get it on TV. They're not going to get it in the music they're listening to. They're not going to get it at school. This is what they get from the school at home. This is what they get from us and how we live our lives. And typically, you know, my baby girl, she typically, all she wants is for me to tell her how pretty she looks when she puts on a new outfit. When she's, "Daddy, look, Daddy, look, Daddy, look." And all she wants is validation. I don't have to be concerned about her and seeking for love in other places. At least I hope so, because I'm focused on trying to make sure that she knows how precious she is. And I also try to let my sons know how to expect and how to share that validation to women by how I try to treat and love my wife. A bedtime story is another great way to know that you're being successful. Every time you read to your child, that's an intimate and special moment. They have your full attention, and that's the thing that they crave most. Daddy adds funny voices and physical animations as he reads. Your daughter's eyes light up, and a smile takes over her face when you talk in your moose voice and put the pretend antlers on your head. Silliness is something you both enjoy and understand. But more importantly, this time together builds trust and makes your child feel secure. Now, one last thing as we close. Another way that you can know that you're a successful father, and this is something that a lot of people don't do, unfortunately, is being a spiritual leader. A wise father realizes that God is in control, that worship is the cornerstone in the life of a successful family, and so we should be guiding them as they grow in faith and being the man of God that you would have to be. How do I do that? I am the example. My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. I'll say that again, guys. My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. If we just did that, guys, not only are we being the example, not only are we being a spiritual leader, not only are we being an educator in our home, not only are we showing our children the love and respect that we should be doing, but just our kids by learning how to do it, by them seeing us do it day in and day out. It leaves a mark that can never be erased. Love and lead your families this week, guys, by being the example that you know you're supposed to be for them. You can do it, because you're the man. Until next week, this is Freddie Scott reminding you to love and lead your home. We'll be back and better than ever next time. See you next week. This is the Freddie Scott Show.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be back next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll see you then.
It's all right by me.